This morning, we continue our study on the Lord's Prayer and what it means for Christians to pray as Jesus taught us to pray. We're using, again, the Heidelberg Catechism as a guide. We'll be reading in just a moment from Lord's Day 49. What does the third petition mean? We'll answer that question aloud together. I'll first read just two verses from Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 is a hinge in the letter. In the prior 11 chapters, the apostle has been setting before the church the doctrines of sin and of grace. And chapter 12 is a transition to the application. What does it look like to live in light of our sinfulness and the grace of God. And essentially, what the apostle's saying is, you have heard the will of God in terms of how to be saved, how to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here now is what it's going to look like for you to live that way. And so this can guide us in terms of focusing on knowing and doing the will of God, what God wants for us. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. Would you please answer this question with me about this, the third petition from the Lord's Prayer, which will be our focus this morning. What does the third petition mean? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means help us and all people to renounce our own wills and without any backtalk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. Amen. The theme of God's will is not always one that Christians handle properly. Sometimes when Christians talk about God's will, we do little more than reveal our own wishes. When you hear someone say, "I just know this is God's will for me," they may mean, "I want this." We are tempted to legitimize our own actions in the name of God's will. If you want something badly enough, it seems, some Christians have learned, perhaps all of us, just say it's God's will. I just know this is God's will for me. Legitimize your actions by saying, "I'm doing whatever it is, I'm pursuing whatever it is, because it's God's will." We're tempted to that, aren't we? We're tempted to use prayer to convince ourselves that God must want what we want. After all, that's the kind of God I serve, a God who wants what I want for me. But this too is a wrong way of thinking about God's will. The pursuit of God's will always becomes relative and self-serving when divorced from revelation. God's will, in other words, is not hopeful speculation. something that I want to be true, something that I suspect may be true about God's desires. It isn't hopeful speculation. It is the revelation of what God wants. And we don't have to imagine what God wants. In clear words, written down in Scripture for all generations, God has told us what He wants. And so when we pray for God's will to be done, as Jesus teaches us in the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, we aren't asking for the stars to align with our wishes. We are, in fact, praying that our lives would align with God's expectations of us. And so this is how we must pray. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not that I get everything that I want, not that I legitimize my desires in the name of God's will, but that I would do what God wants me to do. And so if we're going to pray that earnestly, we need to understand what it is that we're doing. And so I want to ask two further questions about this third petition. Number one, what is God's will? Because that is something that we do get wrong sometimes, or we may misunderstand. And second, how do we pray for God's will? So first of all, what is God's will? What is the will of the Lord? What does Jesus mean by that phrase, your will be done, when we pray to God? And God's will, in answer to that question, is two different but related things. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, talks about the secret things that belong to God, all the expressions of His holiness coming to fruition, as well as the revealed things, which are given to us and to our children to do them. And so, two related aspects to God's will. Number one, God's will includes His decree to bring all things to pass. God's will includes His decree to bring all things to pass. In this sense, God's will is His master plan, much of which, of course, is unknown to us. We don't know everything that God is going to bring to pass. We don't even know everything that God has brought to pass. And so much of God's will is unknown to us. It is, as one writer says, His eternal and sovereign thoughts and determinations concerning us and all things. God is not, then, like a president of a corporation, officially in control, but unable to do everything he wants. You would say the CEO or the president is in charge of that corporation, that business, but just being in charge doesn't mean he's able to do, or she's able to do, everything that is desired. God isn't like that. God, Ephesians 1 verse 11 says, works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. So this is the first aspect of God's will. It is His master plan. God brings to fruition everything that He wants. And we should pray for this will to be done. Now, we do so, of course, recognizing that it will be done, because God is never frustrated. His purposes are never go unrealized. But we should still pray that this will would be done. And when we do, we can become more assured through praying for this will to be done, more assured of God's stability and of our stability in Him. Because though our plans often change when we try to implement them, God's never change. God's plans never change. He never adjusts His plan. God can say in Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." He's distinguishing himself from all of his creatures. I am the Lord. I am not like you. I do not change. The Lord who knows what is best is totally in control. God always does what he wants. And so as we pray for this will to be done, we find ourselves as his children in the best possible place, because God always does what he wants. His wants are always right, even though they are often mysterious to us. And so we should pray in this sense, "Your will be done. Lord, work out all of your plans according to your good purposes, which I know are good for me, because you love me as you love Jesus." So we should pray in this way. God's will is the sovereign purpose of all of his thoughts. But God also tells us to do what he wants. That's the second aspect to God's will. And this is really where the Catechism focuses our prayer efforts. God's will is the revelation, in this second sense, it's the revelation of what he wants us to do. It's not only that which he is going to do, but what he wants us to do. And in fact, knowing and doing God's revealed will is basic to our living. We don't need, of course, to pry into God's secret will. We ought not do that. We don't have to try to determine what the future is going to hold, like an investment speculator. What is the market going to do? Or, you know, what is the government policy? How is it going to impact future? But we don't know all of that. We don't have to speculate into that. But we must devote ourselves to knowing the will of God's command. It is our responsibility, as Paul says in Ephesians 5:17, to understand what the will of the Lord is. Again, not with respect to his secret policies, but with regard to what is revealed. We must understand it. Or, as we read in Romans 12, verse 2, it is our responsibility to discern what is the will of God. And thankfully, doing so doesn't require clairvoyance. It doesn't require a sort of secret insight into the future. God has shown us what is good. He's shown us what he requires of us, Micah 6, verse 8 says. He's revealed it to us. We know God's will by studying God's word, and thereby having our minds renewed, as Paul says in Romans 12. We gain better ways of thinking about what God has put into our minds by studying his word. And even if we don't fully understand the reasons for what God has commanded us to do, we must, as Paul says in Ephesians 6:6, do the will of God from the heart. As children often don't understand everything their parents tell them to do, don't understand the reasons. As children, we sometimes think to ourselves, "This doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't do it this way if I was managing the home." And of course, parents don't always make right decisions. Parents lack wisdom. And yet children trust that God is graciously ruling through parents, and so they honor good commands from their parents, even those that are somewhat mysterious. Now, we as God's children don't have that, don't have to question whether God is making good decisions. We know that he is. We believe that he is. And so he commands us to do something, we obey from the heart. And what Jesus is saying here in this third petition is that to do God's will from the heart, we must have a sort of heavenly vision. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We must carry out our work as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. But of course, we have an even higher heavenly example than the angels who do their work in the heavenly realms. We do God's will revealed to us looking to Jesus. And so Paul can say to us, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, Philippians 2. Jesus became obedient to that will of God. He prayed, Father, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is referring here to his fears, his anxiety, his natural and good desire for human flourishing, his desire that is proper to not have nails thrust through one's wrist and nails pounded through the ankles. To not be set before wicked people to be scorned and mocked. There was a good sense in which it was natural for Jesus to say, that is unnatural for me to want that. But your will be done. He obeyed the Father's will, as the Catechism says, without any back talk, even when it required a bitter and shameful death on the cross. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth in argument, in resistance. He came to obediently carry out his calling to make us righteous, to make us accepted with God. He came to keep God's will for us, so that we who embrace him by faith will be accepted by the Father and inspired and enabled to do God's will ourselves. And so we have this heavenly vision. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Surely Jesus, in encouraging his disciples to pray this way, is saying, my brothers, think about the angels, how they do their will, the will of God in heaven. Do it like that, but also look to me and see how I do the heavenly will of God, even though it kills me. And so let's not be discouraged by the difficulty of obeying God's will. In our struggle to live well according to God's will, we should look to heaven. One writer puts it so beautifully. He says, as we do that, as we look to heaven, there is Christ, the perfect servant of the Lord. There are the saints that have gone before and are delivered from the last trace of corruption. There are the holy angels that listen to the word of God's mouth and are ever ready to execute his will. That's what we should be doing by faith, looking to heaven to do the will of God on earth. God's will is the revelation of what he wants us to do, and he's given us the most perfect example of what that looks like. And so understanding the will of God as being both the will of his decree of all things that will come to pass, for which we should pray, but also the will of God's command, that which he's revealed to us to do. We want to turn to the second question this morning. How do we pray for God's will? So as we pray from day to day, this is an important aspect of our prayers. Lord, help me to do your will. Your will be done, not just out there somewhere generically, but may I do your will. How do we pray that way from day to day? Let me offer three applications for praying the third petition. Number one, we're to pray that we would do God's will submissively. Christ intends believers to pray these words in a spirit of self-denial, with a humble desire to do what will not come naturally or easily. These are struggling words. These are words which open up a window into a whole world of resistance. A war wages within believers, Paul says, doesn't he, in Romans chapter 7. There's a war within us. James says the same sort of thing in chapter 4. A war waging within us between our old self and our new self, between the spirit-guided will and our self-will. And the Bible teaches that our will, by nature, poisoned by sin, the only state into which anyone ever comes into this world is in that state of conflict with a poisoned will. The disease of sin has been passed on to us. Our will by nature is contrary to God's will. It's against God's will. We come into the world as fighters, as rebels against the will of God, against the good king. Our desires are bent. Our actions are wrong from the start. Our will, what we want, must be realigned, must be changed. Until our wills harmonize with God's will, we will continue to want and do wrong things. And so we ask God to help us reject our own wills. Lord, help me to know when what I want is wrong. When the passion is there, when the desire is there, when the enthusiasm for something is strong, but wrong. Help me to distinguish between what I want and what I want you to want and what you truly want. So we're praying that we would actually be found to realize when our desires are wrong. And in fact, especially when our minds are bent in the moment on doing the wrong thing, we should pray, Lord, I recognize that it is my will to do this thing. But I don't believe it's your will. It's not your will. You've taught me better in your word. Help me to renounce my own will. Help me to obey yours without any backtalk. So there is a powerful element of submission in this prayer request. Help me to submit to your will, which will mean that I renounce my own. Number two, we should pray this petition specifically. Specifically, Jesus teaches us not only how to obey his will, but where. And that is on earth. And I think what Jesus means when he's praying that that we would do God's will on earth is he's saying, this is your realm. This is where you live. This is where you operate. The angels operate in heaven. So learn from them. Do God's will like how they do it in heaven, but do it on earth. Do it in your place. Do it in your sphere. We must serve on earth in our respective responsibilities, in our according to our callings, God's revealed will for us in our callings, in our family situation, in our spheres of friendships and other responsibilities. God's will for us is seldom mysterious. It's just hard sometimes, but we're to apply. We're to appeal for God's help in specific areas, especially where it's hard. God's will confronts us right where it's most practical, according to our desires. Truly the things that we want to do are going to shape what we do in all of our relationships. And God says it's right there, right where the rubber meets the road of desire, which leads to action. That's where you're to be praying. We apply God's will by performing the very ordinary duties of our station and calling as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child, as a student, as a worker, whatever it is. It's in that place that we do God's will or don't do God's will. And so the point here is that knowing God's will and doing it is not just for the huge decisions. This is sometimes how we think about God's will. You know, where should I go to college? Who should I marry? And of course, those are important things. But it's much more at the granular level of daily decisions that we're to be praying, Lord, help me to make wise decisions. Help me to do what you've called me to do, to discharge my vocation consistently with your desires. And we often know just where we are not fulfilling our callings. Are there things that you want? Maybe right now you can think of an example of something that you very much want, but know that God doesn't want for you. Perhaps it's a particular relationship or a thing that you're pursuing, a vocation that you're pursuing. Maybe it's a secret thing that you very much want, but you know that God doesn't want. These are the specific things that we should be praying about. Lord, right here, right in this area, the very thing that I don't even really want to pray about because I know that I'm wrong, I know I'm out of line, Lord, help me here to reject my will and to embrace yours. And be encouraged by this. As our changed wills result in changed lives, we will bring a little bit of heaven to earth. I think there's an encouragement embedded here in Jesus' phrase, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right? God is showing us the beauty of how things are done in heaven, where the angels always obey God's will, where there's no trouble, no pain, no grief. As we live like that on earth, we'll bring some of that heavenliness to earth. Another way of saying it is this: this third petition clarifies the second petition. In the second petition, we pray, your kingdom come. Rule in this world, Lord Jesus. And what we're praying for here is, Lord, rule in this world as you do in heaven by my submission to your will. God's kingdom is established, it flourishes, it's preserved when everyone is enabled by God in his own peculiar sphere to diligently do his will. For this to happen, we need to pray specifically. And then finally, we need to pray confidently. Believers can pray to God, your will alone is good, and I will do it. We need to have that confidence that we're not just praying to the wind when we say your will be done. We mustn't just be half-heartedly saying, Lord, do what you think is best, and I'm sure it'll all work out. We're praying confidently here. Christ did not merely come, remember, to show us how to keep the Father's will. He continues to work to help us do it. He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's empowering us by the Holy Spirit. And so as we pray to be obedient to God's holy will, we must believe that he is willing and able to make that happen. As trusting children looking to a good father, believers are praying for help to carry out the work that we're called to. Yes, it's too much for us. Yes, our will, we are stubborn. We're willing in that sense. We're too willing. We're too stubborn. But God is able to modify our desires. He's able to assist us in persevering even when we're struggling against hard desires. God can change our hearts so that we desire what he desires. And that conviction that God is able to answer this prayer should replace timidity with determination as we pray the third petition. There should be strength here in our expression of the third request, not because of our own strength, but because we are appealing to a God who is powerful, and he wants this. He wants what we're praying for, and so we can pray with confidence. And so, brothers, sisters, let's pray this way. Let's pray this way. At the start of each day, let's pray for obedient minds, obedient spirits, obedient bodies. As we face challenges and frustrations throughout the day, let's ask God to help us live as we should. And as we rest our heads on our pillows at night, let's pray that God would transform our wills even in our nightly rest. And as God answers this prayer, which we trust he will, the kingdom of heaven comes to earth, and we experience joy and satisfaction in closer unity in heart, in mind, in soul with the God and Savior of our lives. So let's pray as God's people, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Let's come to God. Lord, we confess to you what you already know, that we are stubborn, even where we are clearly out of alignment with your will. Our wants are strong, even when they're wrong, often especially when they're wrong. We want to be happy, even if pursuing happiness means wandering from the clear expressions of your will in your holy word. We pray that you would change our desires, that we would reject our wills where they are wrong, that we would know your word as we read it on our own in our family settings and as a congregation hearing it preached also. We pray that we would expect to have changed minds where we are wrong. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue to roll out your plan for the transformation of this world, the judgment of the unpenitent, and the glories that will be revealed at the coming of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we pray not to a local deity or a ruler who is mostly like us, but one who always does according to a holy will. So we pray, Lord, that your will be done on earth by us as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.